Sex is one of humanity's greatest sources of pleasure. So why is it still shrouded in guilt, shame, and misunderstanding? Welcome to Are You Available? I'm your host, Lana Jade, sex worker turned counselor and sexual educator, and I'm here to unpack some of those issues that have come to light from my time in the adult industry. Hi there, and welcome to Are You Available? My name is Lana, and I'm so excited to introduce myself on a podcast platform to finally tell you a little bit about it, what it is, and what I wanted to share with you through this. I have been making this podcast or planning to make this podcast for so freaking long now. The amount of times that I have recorded and re-recorded these first episodes because I just kept being so unsure whether or not this is what I wanted to do with, this is what I wanted to put out in the world and how I wanted to go about it. But more than that, I had like quite a substantial amount of imposter syndrome. Like, who the fuck am I to sit here and tell you guys about anything at all, right? Like, who am I to talk about sex or sex work or whatever? I didn't want to have this podcast be some sort of narcissistic, you know, project that was all about me talking about me and how fabulous I am. I wanted to make sure that what I was releasing and what I wanted to communicate to you all was relevant and important and interesting and things that you kind of want to know about, as well as things that might actually benefit you in some way, even if it's just entertainment, I don't know. So yeah, this has been a work in progress, and I've doubted myself. And because I have such a natural inclination to overshare, firstly, but also share in a really raw way that doesn't sugarcoat it and can be blunt at times, I've been pretty concerned that my opinions will be have me ostracized from, you know, the sex work community or just general life. So I have been umming and ahhing about how I want to authentically communicate my message, not that my message, my thoughts and my opinions. And with that, I guess there will be an element where people strongly disagree with me. So I firstly wanted to take this moment to say that these are my opinions. They're my opinions only. They're based around my perspectives, based around my experiences. And these are going to differ from person to person. You know, if you don't agree with them, that's fine. Like, you don't need to agree with them. That's the whole idea behind it, is we all have different opinions. We all have different experiences. They shape the way we think and communicate and view other people. But hopefully through my experiences and my opinions, you know, we can accept, be more accepting or have more consideration about some topics and see how they're relevant to the way we view things. So that is to start us off. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about, firstly, about my experience, my little journey within the industry, and why I decided to share my experiences in this particular way. I realized that, you know, I spent a lot of years being really angry that sex workers were really discriminated against and treated so unfairly, until I realized it's not about sex workers themselves. It's about sex. It's about society and sex. And there's so much shame and there's so much complexity around sex as a whole that people project their fears, and, you know, and that comes across pretty strongly in the way people view sex workers. So I thought I'd look at that a little bit more. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to understand why people were so filled with fear and shame around their own sexuality. But in doing that, that was like incredibly complex. There's so much there. I mean, sex and relationships and people and humanity, like, where do you start and where do you stop? It's also intertwined, and it's super fascinating. So like, I thought, wow, there's a whole podcast here. And so with that, that was one of the main reasons that I decided to move from sex work into counseling and sex education, because there's so many things that people should be able to feel within themselves. It's I think one of the biggest reasons why the sex industry is so profitable and will always be part of society no matter what changes within the laws and regulations, is because people can't be themselves sexually in their everyday lives. And that's actually quite sad to think about, that people need to pay a really hefty fee to be able to be themselves, to express themselves sexually, to have the freedom to enjoy what they enjoy. And yeah, so I'd love to live in a world where ideally sex workers weren't so needed, but we don't. This is where we're at. Sex work is hugely, it's just such a necessity in society, because sex is ingrained within us in desire, and it drives so many of our behaviors, and we don't want to acknowledge that. We want to push it aside and pretend that it doesn't, and then it manifests into situations where people need sex workers, which is great, like for me right now, you know, and the industry, but sad that people can't express themselves, you know, in their everyday lives. But to give you a little bit of background about myself, I have been in the sex industry for 7 years, going on 8, as a full service sex worker anyway. So I started sugar dating about 7 years ago, and that was my entry into the sex, like full service sex worker world. However, my first adult industry experience was when I was 18 and living on the Gold Coast, where I was approached to be part of a weekly jelly roasting competition at a nightclub. So in hindsight though, I wasn't approached. It was a really predatory act. I was followed around all night by like 2 40-year-old men, which at the time I didn't see as problematic, but looking back, I mean, that's incredibly predatory. And I obviously was very young, 18. I didn't even look 18 though. I was super young, super naive, no idea. The attention sounded great, you know, it sounded fun. So I just did it. And that wasn't the problem. That was fun. That actually was a lot of fun. But from there, I started working as a topless waitress and ended up doing extras a number of times, which really messed me up mentally, you know, like I wasn't mentally prepared for that. And but it wasn't the act itself. It was that I was severely taken advantage of, and I hadn't even recognized how much so that is the reason why I had such an awfully hard time dealing with it. But I was put in situations which, yeah, sure, to a degree I chose, but again, I was 18. I was given a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, on boats with middle-aged men, and who essentially were incredibly intimidating. I remember one instance where I was given like only like $50, maybe $100 before that, he cornered me in a room and wanted me to be his sugar baby. Actually, he didn't even offer me money. I think it was just like drugs to meet up with him and have lunches and all of this stuff. And this guy was just a pig of a man in every sense of the word. I mean, I don't judge. I've come a long way in the way that I view people. But he was late 40s, I imagine. Just an absolute pig. And later in the evening, I was higher on drugs, on a boat, remember. So I couldn't go anywhere. And he cornered me again and wanted to give me like $50 or $100 to suck his cock in the bathroom of this thing. And I accepted. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about rates. I didn't know anything about, really, I didn't care about safety in terms of sexual health at the time. Like, I was young and stupid. And I've got a feeling I ended up having sex with him because I didn't know what to do, and he wouldn't let me leave. He wouldn't let me leave out of the shower because he hadn't come yet. So I was like in a shower with this man who I found incredibly intimidating. I didn't know what to do, and I figured the easiest thing to do would be just to do what he said. So that was my first experience as extra, was getting paid for extras. And in hindsight, it sounds like I put myself in a really dangerous situation, and I did. And I cried for like 2 weeks after that, the memory of what I did to myself and what I let happen. So there's a lot wrong with that situation, but my experience is one reason I wanted to talk to people about, you know, the whole industry and all the different facets about it, because it's not so black and white. And even though that probably sounds black and white to you, it wasn't at the time. I put myself on a boat with these men because I was getting paid to do it, but I didn't know how to get myself out of that situation. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know the risks involved to start with. So anyway, from there, I became a sugar baby in Sydney. Though that was like 8 years later, 6 or 8, probably 8 years later, I think. And then I started a blog, an online diary about the whole experience. I just started it from the first time I met my first sugar daddy, air quotes, sugar daddy. I wouldn't call him a sugar daddy. He was, again, somebody that very much knew how to take advantage of a situation. I could go into that another time. And I only started it just as a way to get my thoughts out of my head, I think. I had no expectations of it. I had no real need or desire. I don't know why I did it. I just did it. But I actually started writing, or I wrote it every time I would meet somebody, and I'd write about my experiences. And it became quite a popular blog. A lot of people would read it, and it really cemented my adoration for the industry because of how people were connecting with me through it. People would message me and tell me how much my stories would mean to them on so many different levels, you know, whether it be because they didn't feel alone or I'd changed their perspective on the industry or whatever it was. I had this connection with people I had never really had before, and I felt part of something. I think it felt like I'd come into myself, being able to connect with people through that, but also through my job. For the first time ever, I wasn't a slut. I was viewed as a slut, I guess, because I was so sexually open and expressive, and sure, that manifested in some pretty slutty ways. But I mean, I was what it was. It is what it is. And I mean, good on me, right? Like, I felt a lot of shame at the time, but I can proudly say that I was just expressing myself sexually in a way that I wanted to. So there was no real issues there. But anyway, I felt like myself. I felt like I could be myself for the first time ever, and people were accepting of it. So when people were contacting me through this blog, it was the first time that I knew that there was something for me to explore here, that for sharing my experiences on a platform was necessary in some way. My blog documented my progression through the industry, from sugar baby to agency to being deeply and personally involved with my manager, or essentially my pimp, who he strongly refuses to accept himself as a pimp, but that's essentially what it was. I was fucking him. I was with him, and he was managing me and forcing me to do bookings. So yeah, I would say a pimp. And then from there, when that all turned to shit, it was pretty shitty from the beginning, but it definitely reached its peak. And then I went to being an independent sex worker. I talked about my personal experiences, my personal relationships, my life, my family life, everything that was affected by my role in the industry, which was literally everything. Friendships, like day-to-day life, everything. And so all of those things that affected me are all relevant to everybody in some way, shape, or form. Like, we all have things that affect our sex drive, our personal life, our relationships, and sometimes we don't really even see how they all fit together and impact on one another. So that's what I wanted to discuss with you guys on a collective level. So like I said before, I was angry about the mistreatment that I'd faced as a sex worker. But I really lost the desire to preach to the masses that sex work was normal work years ago. And I still feel that way. I don't feel that I or any other sex worker should need to get on their soapbox and preach that their existence is valid. I don't care what anybody else believes about me or this industry, if I'm entirely honest. And while I hold that view about sex work has opened so many doors to so many societal and relationship subjects that are often overlooked because people can't get past the whole prostitution thing. So that essentially is what this podcast is about. Sex work, yes, sure, but it's deeper than that. Everything that I just said, sex work, relationships, mental health, misassumptions, just being part of fucking society. With this job, I've had the opportunity to work with such a diverse range of people, and that's what's, I think, really helped shape my perspectives about all of those things, about everything, because I have this opportunity to work with people and to be with people in a way that they aren't with anybody else. They're vulnerable, they're real, they're authentic. Not many people get to experience people in this light, and that is such a beautiful thing to be part of. And I'm so blessed that I get to experience people in that way. It's just the most fulfilling. It's just absolutely fulfilling to see people, to be part of their experience of authenticity and sexual expression. And that's one of the other things I wanted to talk about, is that there's so many sides of the sex industry, and it's often either demonized or glamorized. It's rarely in between. So there's the people that want you to believe that it's absolutely fabulous, that everything's amazing, they get tons of money, it's all designer, everything, they get flown all over the place and blah, 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 blah. And sure, yeah, there's aspects of that where it's true. But that's not the whole industry. There's so many areas of the industry that's one part of it, and it's not always like that. There's times when it's incredibly glamorous and it's so fun, and it's just like those moments we go, holy shit, I cannot believe I'm getting paid to do this. Like, this is insane. But then there's the reality of it too. It's like, what else has happened to get to that place? There's the good, and then there's the bad, and there's the in-between, there's the mundane, there's just, it's generally, it's work. There's so many aspects to it. And like I said, that's one part of the industry. The sex industry or the adult industry spans so many different areas, and, you know, from survival workers to you know, strippers and, or dancers, sorry, and online, like there's a whole world that is not just some glamorous woman being flown from city to city to converse with men, you know. That's or that's the other thing, actually. These people say you don't have sex. Yeah, you fucking do. It's a sexual industry. There's times when it's not about sex, it's about connection and intimacy. But fundamentally, the adult industry is about sex. And there's people that offer social bookings. I promise you that they're not the majority by any means. It's such a small percentage. And so I've had so many people tell me that they've met somebody that's an escort, but she doesn't have sex with the clients. Or sugar baby doesn't have sex with the clients. I'm like, she does. I promise you, she does. She doesn't want you to know that. But no, she would never lie to me. She is. She is. And that perception or that narrative that's being told is so damaging to everybody else in the industry, because it's not real, and it's stigmatizing people that do have sex. And it's also, yeah, there's a whole lot wrong with that. But on the other side, this industry is being demonized, and it's just this narrative that it's just, oh, dangerous, disgusting, drug-fueled, abusive place where everybody is taken advantage of. No, that's not true. It can be an incredibly empowering position to be in, to be a sex worker. I mean, I have found so much in this industry that is just so beneficial to the rest of my life. Like, I've really come into myself through being a sex worker, and I don't think I'd be this happy or in such a good place if I wasn't a sex worker. It's the first time that I've genuinely loved my job, and I have such a different respect for myself now as a sex worker than I did before I was a sex worker. Maybe that's come through understanding of, or maybe it's age, I don't know. But, you know, essentially I have gained so much from this industry, and for that I am so grateful. My progression from here is about helping people find that same, the same sort of fulfillment that I have gained through sex work within their lives without needing to go fuck strangers, you know, for money, you know. But that's what I did. That's how I found it. And it was great. And it still is great. I've got great clients. This podcast isn't about shaming the industry or demonizing the industry. It's not about glamorizing the industry. It's about talking about the industry as it really is, and the people inside it and the people that use it, and talking about people, how that translates back into people that don't use the industry, just people as a person, all of those human things that make up our lives, that you know, sex is one of our greatest pleasures. So as relationships and connection, like, that's where we gain so much satisfaction. It's a need. We need it. We need to have that connection in our lives. And just like we need sex, we need it. It drives us in so many ways. And, you know, you can pretend it doesn't, but it does. Like, look at the way that we're marketed to. Sex sells. And, you know, you can either think that you're immune to your sexual desires or whatever, but you're losing out, man. Like, you're losing to not acknowledge this part of yourself, because sex is just so freeing. And one of the aspects that I've always loved about sex work is a connection to other people. It's just so, yeah, enlightening. So this podcast is absolutely not about opening the doors to multiple bedrooms of sex workers and talking about all of those juicy details, though definitely it is part of it, because that's what you guys want to know. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's so intrigued by sex. They just want to hear about it. They want to know what's going on in other people's bedrooms. Interesting. So it's not just about that, though. It's not just about the stigma that affects us, not at all, though, again, part of it. It's not about looking at the industry through one biased lens. This podcast is multifaceted and about everything that I'm talking about and what I hope to achieve. It's not just for sex workers, and it's not just for industry outsiders. It's the opportunity to look at sex work, to look at sex, to look at people, to look at intimacy, mental health, for all that it is. It's part of what makes being human an incredible experience, but it also challenges us, and it's often swept under the rug. So like I've mentioned already, one of the biggest aspects of sex work that I find the most rewarding is the connection to other people and seeing them in such an authentic way. But it wasn't until this year, last year, that I realized that I didn't actually have to be fucking these people to get that same satisfaction, to be able to connect with them in the same way. I can be talking to them. I can be doing other things. I can be opening their eyes in another way without actually getting physical with them. And with the knowledge of that, it opened my eyes, because I was like, holy shit, I can be helping people. I can be helping so many other people. I don't actually have to be having sex with them. I can take my knowledge as a sex worker, yeah, and connect with people outside sex work. Fabulous. And so that knowledge and all of the questions that I get in my inbox constantly, all the things people contact me about, which is all sex related, obviously, or relationship related, shaped my new goal of becoming a counselor and a sexual educator, because I've realized that I was in such an empowered position to be able to share my sexual freedom and my sexual sovereignty with other people and help them find theirs. and help them find that same freedom that I've been able to express and feel my entire life. And so that's when I started doing all of the things that I needed to do to be able to become a counselor, work with women specifically, work with sex workers, actually, working with sex workers and women, and with all of the things that have come up, that come up in everyday life, but also on another level, a sexual educator and working with women to rediscover, reconnect with themselves sexually and educate, become all of the things that people have wanted me to be or been asking of me. I didn't have the skills to give them. I didn't have the skills to give them the knowledge that they needed. And I didn't even consider that it was a career that I could branch into, because I just genuinely just wanted to help people anyway. I didn't want to make money from it. I just wanted to help them. And so I tried, but I couldn't. So all of these years I've been working mostly with men and with couples. I love couples bookings. And that's a whole different thing. I'm going to do a whole thing on that because it's just such a beautiful thing to be a part of. But I'm able to connect with people in a new way, in a new intimate way. And that is what I'm branching into now and where this podcast will be leading me. So I'm super excited about that. So through social media and what everybody has been telling me over the years and asking me and divulging to me has really shaped my career path and this podcast. So thank you to everybody that has contacted me, because you are what this is all about. I have been afforded the opportunity to see where the holes in ourselves and society are around sex and the industry and relationships. And you've allowed me the opportunity to see what is causing so much angst and distress, simply because as a whole, we aren't given the chance to discuss these insecurities or perceived flaws openly in everyday life. And you've trusted me with these questions, and I thank you for that. I appreciate you sharing and wanting my guidance. So from there, I wanted to wrap up this episode and thank you so much for listening. I hope that tells you a little bit about my journey here to this point and what this is all about. I've got many people lined up to talk on so many different topics, because I obviously think that my voice, every episode would be incredibly monotonous and a little bit annoying. And I don't just want my opinion. I mean, my opinion is just my opinion alone. I want other people's opinions. I think that's what makes the world go round, is listening to other people's stories and understanding people from it, from different lights and different angles, and getting different advice from different people. See what resonates with you and others. So again, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to share more with you over, every week. Thank you so much.